Thank you for the friendly reception and your warmth and the smile, which I know that we don't get a product like smile very often these days, because it doesn't cost us much, but it is hard many times to smile. And thank you for the cheer. And especially I noticed the active participation by our younger brothers in the overall functioning of the assembly and also the worship service as well. 2 Sundays back, while visiting, of course, I didn't get all of you that day. I know that Johnson and Mercy were away, and Joy Goody and Susie, they were also away. And maybe some of you were away, but glad that we could, me and Leela could see you all today and to have fellowship with you. 2 Sundays back, a young brother came here and ministered to us. It's Manoj. I was so thankful and also happy because Manoj was a little boy in Abu Dhabi while we were there attending Sunday school. And the Lord strengthened him thus far, gave him the authority and also the unction from above to speak from God's word. And also Manju and Reina and several of you, I know very well that the Lord has been good to you and also placed a desire in your heart to serve him faithfully. Some of our Sunday students, not in Texas but other states, they are serving as elders in assemblies. What a great joy to see them seeing occupied in the Lord's work. In our opening worship time, our brother opened from a Psalm 69, right, brother? You know, that really set the tone for us to meditate also continuously. Save me, O Lord, that is the request. And he also says that waters have come up to my neck. You save me. Also, he prays, the psalmist says, David says, let not be an object of reproach for the people that you chose who are waiting for you. May I not be like that. May I not bring dishonor to your name. You know, life situations can sometimes make us miserable and we feel sad, discontented. We might be discouraged. So if ever I would like to give a title for today is this: there is never a reason to quit. There's always a likelihood that we all go through this process or cycle in life, either today or tomorrow or sometimes in our life. Maybe some of us have already. I have done that many times, to quit. Not from the assembly, by the way, no. But sometimes we feel that we are misfit, or we may not be really successful. We may not bring glory to the Lord and we feel discouraged. So discontentment or discouragement is one of the things God's people have to deal with on a daily basis. Sometimes in a year, maybe a few times in a year, maybe once a month, maybe sometimes daily we go through this struggle. I was just thinking, you know, that even among brothers who are involved in active ministry, they go through this struggle. Sometimes, you know, we feel, you know, that, will somebody notice me? Will somebody understand that trouble that I go through? Will somebody ever recognize my significance at all? But the Lord has got answers to all of that concern. One of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament went through this real depressing situation, that is Prophet Elijah. So I would like to draw your attention to Elijah as we open. This is 1 Kings chapter 19. I would read the first 5 words. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 5. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And keep on reading, but we will stop there. A second time we see that the angel came again with the same supply of food, asking him to arise, eat, your journey is so great. I was reading the preceding chapter, and I was looking at the way how Elijah confronted a hostile crowd at Mount Carmel. And you know how he prayed for fire from heaven, and the fire came and consumed a sacrifice and burned the whole thing that was entrenched with the water. And then killing 450 evil prophets of Baal and taken some disciplinary measures, that God was really honored by that great servant that day. Not only that, prior to that, there was a drought in Israel for several years. It was also according to his word it happened, and he brought an end to that drought on the same day. So two specific major events took place at the time. One is bringing fire from above and burning the sacrifice, and also killing those evil prophets that day and cleansing that place from evil influence, and then ending a drought. You know, these are major victories. What happens after that? You know, when Jezebel heard all this from her husband, King Ahab, she sent this threat: "Tomorrow by this time, I'll take your life by one of those, like one of those prophets of mine who were killed." The only response that Elijah did, as we see, that he ran for his life. You see the disparity, that a great man, powerful man, who could bring fire from heaven, who could kill by his word and also cleansing a place with God's power, ending a drought by his word, he ran for his life. We feel so miserable towards Elijah, right? And, we don't ever gain that kind of power like Elijah had, but even if we have, we do the same thing, don't we? How many times we have run? Not literally, but in our daily walk with the Lord. Don't we realize that we many times do the same thing? And we just say, "Lord, I want to die." Of course, he is not committing suicide, but he is asking the Lord, "Please take my life." You know, only one thing that he says, "Thou Lord, Lord, it is enough. I can't do anything more than this." Two things we notice here. One is fear factor. Not only discouragement, but fear. Fear comes first and makes this man helpless. Although he was a mighty man of God, he became useless. And he said, "I want to die." So when fear comes, you notice that all what is in us is just eroding very quickly. You know, two things the Bible says very clearly. These are strong commandments from God. One is, do not fear. God knows that we do this. That's why he said that do not be afraid. In the Garden of Eden started fear. That fear is still continuing. So that's why Lord Jesus Christ said time and again to his listeners, do not be afraid, do not be fearful. How many times he had to remind his disciples that do not be afraid, right? While being capsized by a great storm, they were afraid and they thought they are going to perish. Now, once it was subsided, when he calmed the sea, he said, why are you afraid? The same thing, you know, time and again, he had to remind his listeners and his disciples that do not be afraid. A second thing is, do not worry. How many times the scripture says, do not worry? But do we worry? Yes, we do. These are the two things I noticed that if you ask somebody, how are you? We would say, I'm okay. Some say, I am fine. But in your heart of heart, you know that you are fine. But you can't say that because that's the way human life functions. We can't spread all our worries before a person when you ask him, how are you? Right. Second thing is, we are afraid too. We are afraid of many things in life, right? From day break to the day end, you know, that we go through a lot of fears. So that's why scripture is pointing us back and again, back and forth, that we should not go through that process. Now, after bringing a supply of rich food, you know, that I like that food, you know, which is a baked stuff on coal that is full of vitamins, right? No vitamins lost. So along with that, he was given fresh water. As a small kid, you know, when my mom used to tell us the story, I was thinking in my mind, oh, I would have been an Elijah. I could have got this kind of food. I thought, you know, that's the nature we are. We just want to be refreshed. Whenever we are hungry, we want to be fed. When we are tired, we want to be strengthened. When we are short of energy, we want energy. When we are afraid, we need help. That's why Psalm 69, when David prays, he says, Lord, please send help. I cannot survive. I am drowning. After eating that bread or the cake and drinking the water, he slept again, right? God had to give him a second supply, and he ate that also. And after that, we see that he continued his journey. What happened to Elijah after that? You know, what God was saying, that you have to do many more things before you die. You have to anoint two kings. You have to anoint one prophet. So three major operations he had to do. So he did that. He anointed two kings to take a lot of things, to bring a lot of changes in Israel. He had to anoint two kings. Then he had to appoint or anoint a successor to him, that is Elisha. So he heard that the death threat from Isabel and ran for his life. But later on we see, we are not going there, but we see that God removed his fatigue, removed his fear, made him strong, gave him a commission, made him assurance that you belong to me. Your time of death is my decision. I have a fixed time for that, but you go on. You keep on doing what I'm asking you. Elijah overcame that fear, completed his mission, anointed two kings, and also commissioned a prophet after him. And we know that Elijah was later on taken back to heaven, not by death. He wanted to die, but God had a different plan. He was promoted physically back to heaven. And what a great ending Elijah had. Another person I would like to bring to our consideration is one of the greatest disciples is Peter. Peter was the spokesperson for the whole group of disciples several times. Peter had the boldness to first say before everybody that you are the Son of God, the Christ. What a great day was that in the life of Peter, that God gave him that assurance and that belief and that vision to say it publicly, representing all of the disciples, and he said it. And what was the reply from the Lord? Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this truth to you. That is the person Peter was. But I would like to bring the other side of Peter also here. Peter, at the time of the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, we notice that Peter was a different person. Peter realized that his life is in danger, so he wanted to keep away, and keep a distance. But he also wanted to know what was happening to his master. So what happened in that process? Lord had warned him that this would come. So telling him three times, telling him a great truth that's going to happen, that before the crow crowing, you would deny me three times today. Peter said, no, even if I'm going to die, even if I go to prison, I will never deny you. Lord Jesus also said, Simon, 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 Satan asked to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. And what happened to Simon Peter? Let's go to first, I think Matthew. Matthew 26:75. I guess I would read 74 also to set the stage there. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. You know, the background is, you know, that he was identified by a follower of the Lord. And a servant girl said, I know this man. He also belongs to the group. He also looks like a Galilean. And all that thing happened. Three times he was put on the spot, and he was noticed, you know, that he was one of the followers of the Lord Jesus. And he says, he began to curse and swear and saying, I do not know the man. 75, immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. I just want to emphasize that, you know, Peter, after the rooster crowed three times, and he remembered what the Lord reminded him. All what Peter could do was go out and weep bitterly. What kind of Peter was that at the time? What would be the feelings of Peter at the time when he watched all this thing happen? This is what I think. Peter thought, that's the end of my Christian journey with the Lord. It's all vanished. It's all gone. Not only that, I made a major sin that I betrayed my master. Humanly speaking, he is right. That's the end of his Christian journey. everything is completely wiped out. And that's why it says that he wept bitterly. If you read other Gospels, especially in Luke and also in John, in chapter 21, I believe, the Lord had to deal with Peter specifically for that. You know, he just came close to Peter after that big haul of fish, asking him, "Simon, Simon, do you love me?" And Lord Jesus had to ask him three times, "Simon, do you love me?" And the third time, Peter realized, you know, that how far the Lord has adopted him, reinforced him, strengthened him, restored his faith, encouraged him. And this is what the Lord's love is, restored him, strengthened him. Not only that, gave him a great commission just like Elijah, that feed my flock. For a person who denied the Lord Jesus, who did not even spend with him a few hours, we don't know about the other disciples except John. All of them left, but Peter made the biggest mistake, that denying him publicly and began to curse. Such a Peter is not only sought after the Lord by the Lord, but he was restored to his faith. This is why the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan asked to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you." Oh, I am sure that Peter remembered the value of the Lord's prayer that day, that he knew not by his Christian walk with the Lord, not by the power of his faith, that he would be restored, but by sheer kindness, mercy, compassion of the Lord, that he was restored to his faith. Not only that, the amazing thing, that Peter was given extra power from above to lead the church. Not only that, you know, that Peter became a bold person for the Lord. Not only that, he was even willing to die and suggesting the Roman people to crucify him upside down, because "I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So please crucify me upside down." So the message here is that this is the way our life revolves around. We go through struggles, sorrows, sadness, dejection. But the assurance from the Lord is that the Lord who restored Elijah, the Lord who commissioned Elijah for a great task, the Lord who really went after Peter and took him back, restored his faith, recommissioned him for a great task, he is so close to us, don't we? Does he? He is close to each one of us. No matter what our failures in life, what happens to us on a daily basis, but this is the assurance that he who began a good work in you will bring into completion till the day of Jesus Christ. Another thing I want to leave with you is that in the service of the Lord, there is this cycle of events that take place in everybody, is that, you know, that who knows what we are doing? How many people recognize our importance or our presence here in the city? How many understand what we go through? What is our future? All these things we go through. And I think these things are addressed several times. Let's see. Isaiah 49:4. Let's go back to Isaiah 49:4. We are talking about discouragement here. "Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." Notice that verse 4, "I said, I have labored in vain." Who is talking here? Isaiah the prophet, a great man of God who prophesied, for so many years with no result. And naturally, that person should feel discouraged, doesn't he? He feels discouraged. And he says that, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Surely, sometimes years of Christian service evaporates into nothing in a believer's life when you think about sometimes the results that can happen. No result sometimes, right? No change in anything. And this is what the prophet said. But God gave him a second revelation, and that is what he says in verse 5. And now the Lord says, who formed you, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Surely the just reward is with the Lord. So one side Isaiah feels that, you know, he said, I labored in vain. Nothing is shown. Nothing has happened. But God gave him the revelation that, no, my reward is with the Lord. My just reward, so that is, and the Lord says, so second part, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Let's move to another one, Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, just in the same chapter. Few chapters further, Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. This is an interesting analogy for us to watch. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that it goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. This is the natural process as we see in nature. Rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If that is true, and we see it in our daily life, if it is true, Spirit of God says, you think about God's word. It comes from him, it goes to the person, it makes it effect and brings result. So shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. Think about the host of evil powers in the entire world. And think about the vast army of the whole nation. If they all collect together, can they stop rain and dew from heaven? They can't. That's God's doing. That's God's work. It can never be stopped. And that's the analogy here. It comes whether you like to stop it or not. It's going to come. If that's true, God's word is the same. It will come from him because it is his word. It goes to the human heart, penetrate your marrow and the muscles, and reaches your heart and make you and do the desired work and accomplish its mission. That is God's task. And that's a great analogy that God taught prophet Isaiah. And one more thing, finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is a concluding assurance from great man of God, Paul, to his listeners. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, Paul, after entreating his fellow brothers and also the listeners, this is the advice that he gives. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just like the aircraft, you know, it is made in such a way that it will go only forward. It can never go backward. It needs extra help, you know, to make a reverse, right? Our life is only meant to go forward. There is no retreat. There is no running away from God. There's no room for disappointment or dejection or feeling of loss. Our mission is to go forward. This is my desire this afternoon. If ever I just shared anything, please hold on to this truth, that the word of God is so powerful, strong, that when it comes and touches you, it makes its effect on you. You would be a different person. If God can restore Peter, recommissioned him for a great task, if Elijah was recommissioned and assigned him 3 more great jobs and taken him back to heaven physically, all this scriptural truth reminds us one thing: our God is faithful. He will not cast us away just because of one disappointment or one running away from him, or many times even, but he is a God of love, compassion, and with infinite joy when we return back to him. There is great joy when we return back to him, because he is willing, he is ready to give us extra strength. Oh, I thank God for sending that fresh supply of food to Elijah, strengthening him, and with that strength, he ran. He went back to Mount Horeb, received God's revelation, power from above. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we give you thanks and we rejoice over the fact that your word that comes from you is so powerful. No human element can stop it. All the hosts of the demonic powers can never stop it. But we also thank you, Father, for your compassion and love toward us. In all our hymns and scriptural passages, Lord, time and again we remembered that you seek after us when we don't deserve to be sought. You love us back when we are not lovable. You restore our strength and give us fresh life. Give us new commission, Lord, to run forward. Thank you, Father, for you restored the faith of your disciples to do a great task in the first century. Thank you, Father, for all the men of faith in the past who were restored when they went through dejection. Give you thanks, Father, for the time to worship you, to study from your word. Thanks, Father, for your assurance that you are with us even to the end of the age. So, Father, we pray that thou would give us strength, assurance, and courage, that we would move forward and finish our task before you call us home. Thank you, Father, for this time. In our Lord Jesus Christ's blessed name I pray. Amen.